Hi, everyone, and welcome to the special edition of Freedom from Addiction, Truth, Justice, Below the Surface, and the Neil Haley Show. I'm excited to welcome the program, Reverend Wynn Henderson, MD. Wynn, how are you?
Well, I'm doing good today, Neil. I've got an important simulcast with you to talk about today. The title is Obesity, a Medical Disease. 50 years ago, physiologist Edwin Astwood, MD, PhD, wrote, "Obesity is a disorder which, like venereal disease, is blamed upon the patient. The finding that treatment doesn't work is ascribed to lack of fortitude." At that time, about 13% of U.S. adults had obesity as defined by a BMI greater than 30. Unfortunately, despite the best efforts of health professionals and others, the prevalence of obesity is now over 42%. More unfortunately, Astwood's statement remains essentially correct. Two major causes of this pervasive misconception are a societal refusal to accept obesity as a disease process, coupled with a tolerance of multi-level blatant and subtle fat bias, even in the face of an overwhelming body of scientific evidence to the contrary. The consequences are delays in obesity prevention, treatment to forestall the comorbidities, and passage of cost-effective legislation to support treatment. In 2005, the American Medical Association Committee on Scientific Affairs stated that a disease must reflect an impairment of normal functioning of some aspect of the body, characteristic symptoms, and harm or morbidity. Now, obesity is clearly the result of failure of energy homeostatic systems and has a distinct phenotype and comorbidities that account for over $200 billion per year in healthcare costs alone, with a projected annual cost of $390 to $520 billion by 2030. All the AMA criteria are met, and obesity is a serious disease process. So why is it so easy to gain weight and so hard to lose it? The increasing prevalence of obesity and the difficulty in achieving and sustaining weight loss reflect the interactions of environmental influences, that is, more calorically dense and highly processed foods in our diet, with multiple obesity risk genetic variants. This complex interplay largely reflects an evolutionary environmental favoring ideas with the selection for genes that enabled our progenitors to store extra calories as fat in the face of frequent undernutrition. There is a remarkable physiological coupling of caloric intake and output at our usual weights. The average weight gain from early to middle adulthood in the United States is approximately 1 kilogram per year, or about 4,000 net extra kilocalories, despite ingesting over 1 million kilocalories per year. Unfortunately, during or after weight loss, there is a disproportionate increase in the drive to eat and a decrease in energy expenditure, creating the perfect storm for regaining weight and accounting for the overall lack of long-term success of non-surgical weight loss. The AMA officially identified obesity as a disease in 2013. Despite this, about 35% of individuals in weight reduction programs do not see obesity as a disease, and 40% of the U.S. public still perceive obesity as a personal problem of bad choices. What the public fails to realize is that obesity is an addiction with an underlying spiritual cause. Without treating that cause, there is no chance of a cure of the disease. For more specific information, read my book, Freedom from Addiction 3, which is available at Amazon.com. Failure to recognize obesity as a disease process is most evident in the stigmatization of those who don't meet societal body shape standards. Fat bias has been here for centuries. Excess fat was seen as the consequences of karmic retribution for moral failure in the Buddhist cultures and a sin of gluttony in the Judeo-Christian tradition. Now, fat shaming is a detrimental belief that the fault lies only in ourselves. Worldwide, fat shaming is reported by over 50% of people trying to lose weight, and it is perpetrated by the news and entertainment media, health professionals, and general public. The diffuse fat bias promotes self-directed fat bias, lack of self-esteem, and feelings of hopelessness in individuals with obesity. The view that obesity and the inability to sustain weight loss are due to a lack of willpower coupled with unhealthy lifestyle practices is augmented by the incorrect assumption that people without obesity, therefore, have more self-control and engage in better lifestyle choices. Fat shaming is perpetrated by weight loss plans, promising you can lose weight forever by simply creating your implied unhealthy lifestyle. Fat bias worsens health independent of body weight and actually interferes with treatment. Stigmatization-induced stress has been associated with more eating and less gym attendance. The effect is evident throughout our lifespan. It was shown over 60 years ago that children ages 10 to 11 years ranked images of a child with obesity as less likable than children who were normal weight, wheelchair bound, with crutches and a leg brace, a missing hand, or facial disfigurement. Similar findings have since been reported in preschool children. The psychological stress of social stigmatization imposed on children with obesity may be just as damaging as the medical comorbidities resulting in significant body dysfunction, social anxiety, loneliness, and somatic symptoms. These negative images can be so strong that growth failure and pubertal delay have been reported in children due to self-imposed caloric restriction arising from fears of developing obesity. The consequences are cumulative and greater weight-related teasing in children is associated with less successful weight maintenance in adulthood. While explicit shaming of people who are overweight or obese may be increasingly being rejected, the prevalence of weight bias is not changing quickly enough. In a survey of almost 90,000 adults, the Obesity Action Coalition found increasing social discomfort and rejection with people who have obesity. How big a difference would it make to an individual who wants to lose weight and keep it off if everyone recognized obesity as a disease and gave those people the same consideration afforded to people with other chronic diseases? Broad acceptance of obesity as a disease would be beneficial in many ways, some beyond decreasing fat shaming. If Congress realizes they were denying Americans coverage for a disease whose treatment could reduce health causes, they might allow the Stop Subsidizing Childhood Obesity Act of 2012, the Bipartisan Treat and Reduce Obesity Act of 2012, the SWEET Act of 2014, or the Bipartisan Enrich Act of 2015 to progress to a vote instead of languishing in subcommittees in deference to big food. To be sure, there has been some progress. The overall prevalence of fat basis bias is decreasing, but slowly. There are multiple new promising pharmacotherapies. The current NIH emphasis on precision medicine and nutrition is a big step forward, augmenting our ability to leverage both current and future treatment options to promote weight loss and prevent regaining it. The mandate for health professionals and others to use person-first language, where someone is identified as a person with obesity or diabetes rather than an obese patient or a diabetic patient, is another big step toward separating the person from the stereotype based on their somatotype. Yet the term obesity remains taboo and is rarely spoken to patients or by politicians. It affects 40% of eligible voters, and there are ethnic, racial, and income disparities. For example, African, Latino, and American Native Americans are disproportionately affected and are also subjected to treatment disparities. Americans earning below $25,000 are 40% more likely to have obesity than those earning over $75,000. Obesity accounts for over 300,000 deaths per year among U.S. citizens. There are tremendous health and financial benefits of recognizing and accepting that obesity is a disease process that begins long before the associated comorbidities such as diabetes or cardiovascular disease are detected. Over 60 years ago, Astwood also wrote, corpulence, which he defined as the condition of being excessively fat or obese, in America is regarded along with narcotic addiction as something wicked. And he said, I suggest that I will not be surprised if soon we have prohibitions against it in the name of national security. In 2013, Benjamin Carson, MD, Secretary of Housing and Urban Development in the Trump administration, characterized individuals with morbid obesity as addicted to eating. A recent CDC publication is headlined, "Obesity is Impacting Our National Security." How long will it be before all of Astwood's predictions are realized and half the country is held criminally liable for being too fat? Meanwhile, we are aggrandizing billionaires for becoming briefly weightless in space, but stigmatizing 100 million Americans because they don't weigh less. This discussion is attributed in part to Michael Rosenbaum, MD, who is a professor of pediatrics and medicine at Columbia University, Irving Medical Center, who has spent over 35 years studying obesity, and to George Bray, MD, who is University Professor Emeritus and former chief of the Division of Clinical Obesity and Metabolism at Louisiana State University's Pennington Biomedical Research Center, whose obesity research work extends over 60 years and began in Edwin Astwood's laboratory. For more cutting-edge, informatory, free podcast, subscribe to my podcast at www.freedomfromaddiction.libsyn.com. Spell Libsyn, L-I-B as in boy, S-Y-N, no spaces, no capitals. And that is my report today on obesity, a medical disease.
Okay, that was great information. This is Freedom From Addiction, Truth, Justice, Below the Surface, and the Neil Haley Show. I appreciate everybody and take care.